What is up, everyone?
What is up, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast. Like always, Vogel here, joined with me, like always, is the face who runs the place, Tyler Face.
What is going on, buddy? I just completely cut you off.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good. It's been, I think we decided already. It's probably going to be one of those days as it is.
Yeah.
It's like, you're running on no sleep, and, I'm running on no sleep hardly, so it's going to be an interesting show.
It's going to be fun. That's what we do it for.
Yes, it will be fun. How was your week?
You know what? It's been long and busy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's the time of the week just to run down everything that we've seen in this past week of wrestling, starting off with last Friday's SmackDown. That took place after time of recording. So, like last week, we'll just go ahead and run down it.
Yes.
SmackDown started off with LA Knight making it official, calling Roman Reigns out at Crown Jewel.
I don't know how I feel about that
I don't know either. I took some time to think about it, and I was like, I personally don't like the idea at all.
I don't either.
I think we've had like a full week to digest, like, hey, this storyline is actually going to be happening at Crown Jewel. I don't think I would have had it at Crown Jewel personally, but I know that for them, they want to always have some type of big match at Crown Jewel.
I don't know. I'm not liking the storyline because of, like, LA Knight's been around, but he's been around by two or three different names, right?
Exactly. Eli Drake over in TNA. And then I can't remember what he used to wrestle under before that, but yeah, he's been in the independent scene. He wrestled with Moxley.
Wasn't he Elias when Moxley was coming up for a hot minute?
No, he wasn't Elias. No.
Okay.
Elias came up through NXT.
That's right.
Yeah, but I don't like it. I mean, I think that, honestly, like I said, they should have just started at Survivor Series. That way you have another possible rematch at the beginning of the year, and then it makes it easier to transition to that Cody Rhodes story if that's the way that you are going.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It'll make it easier, but now it's like I just see this as like, like we keep mentioning the Kofi situation, where Kofi defended his championship against Lesnar, got squashed. I think it's going to be a squash match, and it's going to be a very long time until we see LA Knight back in the main event picture.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that, it doesn't matter anymore if you get that push and fans like you. I think Triple H and his new regime and the booking and all that, they're trying to figure out what works themselves, and this is the only way to do it. Book LA Knight versus him. And if, people don't like the squash match and they don't want him back, then they're just going to push him to the bottom if they like it. And they want to see him like another match.
I don't get it. Why keep crushing good talent? Like, he's not the best, but with John Cena been pushing him over, he's actually... I'm not mad at the results we're getting, but
exactly.
Stop squishing good talent. Sorry, square brain.
Oh no, you're good.
Completely brain.
You're good.
Talent. That's
It is.
It's too easy for them to do that.
Oh yeah, and it sucks because right now I think this is the biggest babyface draw that the WWE has.
Dude, we haven't seen a babyface since...
Well, I mean, a decent one that's getting
these
pops,
no, it's been a while.
I would say the last one that actually got it was when AJ was babyface when he took down Jinder Mahal.
Oh,
that was probably the last time, honestly, that you've had someone get that pop that wasn't, a John Cena coming out for one match or whatever it may be. I think it's been a while since we actually had that true face in the company.
It has actually been quite some time.
Do you think we all know the result? They're not having a belt change hands. We all know that Roman's going to win that Crown Jewel. Do you think LA Knight will continue to be a babyface after?
No, I think he'll be
match?
Oh my God, that just hit me. You know how
Yeah.
John Mock,
Dean
what's his name?
Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, yes. He was a baby face for a hot second, I remember, for like maybe a couple months. Then he just flipped. I think that's what LA Knight's gonna eventually do, is be like, all
Oh
right,
yeah.
screw you guys, I'm going this way. I don't care what you say.
Because honestly, up until like he fully got endorsed by Cena, I seen him as like an in-betweener, the one that would be like the face when need be, but also
Yes.
the heel when need be. I seen him in that type of role. You know, I didn't see him as a complete baby face or complete heel. But then when he got endorsed by Cena, it's like, oh shit, now they're really pushing him to be a baby face. And
Yeah.
we'll see if it continues after Crown Jewel, definitely.
All right. This is ADD squirrel brain question, but what are you being for Halloween?
Don't even know. I think I have to work that
I don't want
day.
to ruin the hat, so give me one second.
We'll see how this goes. We'll see a little preview of what we got going on for Halloween.
It says?
Oh, geez.
My
Nice. That's a nice hat. It's a nice hat.
daughter's gonna be Chucky for Halloween,
Oh,
so.
that's awesome. That is awesome. So you're gonna have like a little matching beanie to go with it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Hell yeah,
I
that's
was like,
awesome.
you know what? That's my hat. You're not taking that. That's mine.
Exactly. Well, this is probably our, yeah, this will be our last
This is the
episode
Halloween
until next
episode.
month. So yeah, this is the Halloween episode. Second match of that, well, the first actual match, I should say, of that night.
Yeah.
We're squirrel braining off to Crown Jewel, which isn't until next weekend. The first actual match of the night seen Montez Ford beat Santos Escobar via roll-up.
Oh, that's so. I hate roll-ups. Oh my God.
There's a
Make it
time and a
look more
place.
convincible.
I'm not mad that it happened on a Monday Night Raw or a Friday Night SmackDown or
You know
NXT,
what? I
whatever it may
agree. I
be.
agree with you.
If
I
it's
agree
in the
with you.
pay-per-view event, then I have total beef with
Then
it.
I
It's a
have a problem
stupid
with
way.
that.
Exactly. But it just makes this feud between LWO and Lashley and the Street Profits a little bit more weird. I mean, just because you've had rumors along with just about every major faction, Raw or SmackDown, that the LWO could possibly be disbanding, Ray could possibly be kicked out, whatever it may be. And
Why
then
would
on the other
they kick Ray
side,
out? He's the one who started the damn thing, isn't he?
well, Edge started Judgment Day.
Oh no, this is true. Oh, Edge's not even
Hey,
it. Adam Copeland's not even in WWE anymore.
I use this WWE name there. Well, anyways, especially when Michael Cole was making reference that Ray wasn't out ringside with Santos when that match was taking place. I don't know if that's previewing a little into the future or what may it be. Maybe I'm looking too far into it, but it could possibly kick him out. I mean, you just brought in Carlito.
Yeah,
I
you
mean, they could turn heel because Carlito wasn't a bad heel when he was wrestling.
I
He
loved
would
when he
he
was a heel. I hated
yeah,
him
he
for
drew the
being
heat.
the heel, but I
Yeah,
loved
exactly.
that he did it.
And he drew the heat too, so it's like, you know, that makes sense. Oh, and then other than that, outside of the LWO situation, you also have Lashley not being pleased with the Street Profits.
He's never been pleased with them, though.
Yeah, well, it's like the last few weeks he's been saying, you know, get me what I pretty much want out of you guys. Be that physical, ruthless two that I know you guys can be, or I'll find somebody that will, you know. And
He
it's just,
keeps using that, and it's just getting burnt out.
it is. And it's like, I don't know, because I know both teams, I mean, both little groups have beef with each other. They don't like each other. It's just going to be interesting to see how WWE decides to end it. Like, do they have both, they just say fuck it and both break up, or do they just break them up slowly?
Yeah, that's true.
It just makes for an interesting outcome, and I think that that's going to be something that maybe look forward to in the upcoming weeks, maybe.
Yeah, very
Guess who
true.
decide to stick their tail in between their legs and head back to the WWE last Friday? Logan Paul.
Ha
But
God.
this time he's calling out Rey Mysterio for his United States Championship. and they've
I
set
have
up a match
a
that
theory.
will be a crown jewel. Oh God.
Crown Jewel is when? Thanksgiving,
Next
right?
Saturday. No, next Saturday.
Well, then what's the weekend after Thanksgiving?
Isn't that Survivor Series?
Yeah, that's right.
Or is
'Cause
that in December? That might be December. I
no,
can't
no, no, no,
remember.
no, 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 no.
It
That
is?
that's Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, yeah.
Because I might be over that way.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, we got November 4th. There would be a matchup between Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul for the United States Championship. I don't like to say, I don't actually like hate Logan. I more loathe Logan. I just don't like, I know you like the idea of like, you know, someone might be like a celebrity GM or something like that, like they used to have, and you like
I
that
don't
idea.
like that Logan keeps coming and going.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say, yeah.
Not really a big fan of that. If you're
Well, not
gonna
just
like,
that.
I'm kind of with John Cena on that. If you're gonna be here, be here. If you're gonna be there, be there.
Exactly. And it's
But
like,
you gotta make money in both ways, so I understand. I mean,
yeah.
like, I get it.
Well, I mean, he's already sponsoring UFC's corners by having it be like the prime timeout corner or whatever. When they go in between their rounds and stuff like that, they go back to their corners. He sponsors that. So, I mean,
That's true.
I seen him, you know, I don't like the idea of him in the ring. I mean, yeah, he's done some crazy shit, but it almost seems like he's actually not taking it as serious as everybody wants him to take it.
Yeah,
You know, it seems like he's more or less
it is.
making a
He,
mockery of it, you know?
yeah, he's shitting on. Damn, I left my. He's shitting on. He's shitting on the company in a way,
Yeah.
but
Well, not just the company, but the industry itself.
well, yeah.
I mean, and to me, like, you should have had to earn that shot at that United States Championship. You had to, you
Yeah,
should work your way up. You
you should
and you, I
make
know you.
Dominic try to take one. No, he's NXT,
He's,
isn't he?
He's, well, he's NXT North American champion.
Well, then why not make him take beat up Ray?
I mean, I could see it. I mean, eventually have a father-son battle one more time before Ray retires.
I
I could
loved
see
that.
that.
I loved that battle. That was such a great battle.
But yeah, it's like to me, I think you should have to earn it, and especially if you want to, I guess, make the belt prestigious again. I don't think you let this switch hands this weekend. And if you do, that's some WCW David Arquette shit right there.
Yes.
And you're giving it to a guy that is out there thinking that, hey, you know, I'm doing a moonsault, you know, this way, that way. Yeah, granted, AJ Styles helped train him, but it's like, no, I just don't like the fact that
Where's
he's
AJ
trying.
Styles been? Like, is
That's
he
a, that is a very good question. He's still under WWE contract. I think, I don't
I
know if it
need
was
him to come
injury or
back.
if he was just pulled for some reason, but hopefully he comes back soon. I know Randy Orton's supposed to hopefully be coming back soon. I think he's coming back. I thought I seen rumors or something that said that he's cleared. But I can't remember if it's actually true or
I think it's
not.
true, but I don't think he's coming back at Crown Jewel. I think I could be wrong
Oh
though. But
no.
what is it called again? The one at
Money
Thanksgiving?
in the Bank? Oh, Survivor Series.
I think that's where he comes back.
That would be an
I'm gonna
interesting
put
return.
some money. I'm gonna put that. I'm gonna put my money where that's at. I
Oh,
think
so
he's coming back
let me
there.
see. What odds do you think happen? Randy Orton returns at Survivor Series or CM Punk debuts at Survivor Series?
Man, well,
Because
I have some.
we already know that CM Punk didn't debut this past weekend at Bound for Glory in Chicago, but there's
Understand
always
that,
Survivor Series.
but I keep seeing that he's that TNA gave him a deal, but he's like, nah, I'm okay. But then I also
Yeah.
seen an interview where it said, got the interviewer was like, so are you gonna be there this year or whatever the fuck, something like that. And he's like, well, I think tickets are sold out and I enjoy just hanging out. So I kind of think he's eyeing, like, circling into it.
That would be interesting. I mean, I thought I did see something so that he was backstage
Yeah.
at Bound for Glory. So, I mean, that
Yeah,
would
he
be
was.
interesting. Then again, he does have so many friends that are in Impact
All the
and all
industry,
over too,
so.
you know. So he usually shows up wherever every now and then and checks in on people. But yeah.
I think I need to get out to Chicago more because I need to run into this Mr. CM Punk. Me and
Exactly.
him need some words.
So we already got your thoughts on Logan Paul,
He's trash. I like him
but
as I
what
like him as a YouTuber, but not a wrestler. I'm sorry, dude. I'm just
but what
stay
if we
stay with YouTube.
decided at WrestleMania, Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny?
You know what? I like that. I like Bad Bunny, so I'm good with that.
Dude, Bad Bunny's like a beast in the ring, dude. I did not expect him to be like that, you know, good. I would actually put him over Logan Paul any day, because all I have to show anybody is that Bad Bunny Canadian Destroyer. The way he does that is, oh, it's awesome,
I
especially
haven't seen
for a
Bad Bunny
musician.
wrestle in
Since Puerto
since
Rico.
Puerto Rico, yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome to see him make that little return, you know, at Mania.
This is
Take
yeah.
on Logan Paul, but I mean that's just some wishful booking down the road. Another match we had on Raw, I mean not Raw, but SmackDown was Austin Theory and Grayson Waller defeated Dragon Lee and Cameron Grimes in tag team action.
I gotta be honest. I don't know who Cameron. Obviously, I'm not paying close enough attention like I should
Well,
be. But
it's
those are
not
just
really. I mean,
names. I don't know.
Cameron Grimes and Grayson Waller and Austin Theory
Wait.
really all came up through NXT.
That's right.
Cameron Grimes is also trained by the Hardys.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of TV time. I think he was injured or just put on the shelves, but it's nice to actually see him get TV time because he was kind of swept under the rug after he left NXT for the
Oh.
main roster.
Okay.
But
No, I didn't know his name.
yeah, he was trained by him. Yeah, so he's from North Carolina too. So
Yeah,
yeah,
no, I
he's
just kind of like got a quick cover on him.
Lance. Oh yeah, he's
Yeah.
he wasn't that bad in NXT. I mean, they just didn't see anything of him. Of course, that's when Vince was doing all the booking too, and had full creative control. So
I
it's nice to
miss
see
the
some of
Hardys,
these guys.
man.
It's nice to see some of these guys, you know, get a little bit of a push, you know, whether it be singles or tag teams. But however, I think this match right here is another reason why we need the tag strap split up again.
Yeah.
It's essentially we're getting singles competitors just thrown together as makeshift tag teams. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but
But look
it
at
doesn't seem like
their
these
show back in
matches.
the day.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like these matches actually mean anything. I mean, when they made up tag teams back in the day, like Jericho, like Hell No, Hell Yes, they ended up winning tag team championships. They actually fought in contenders matches for
Yeah,
the
they were
number one contenders.
actually putting in the work. They're just
Exactly.
kind
And
of
now,
here, take this. This is yours. You can do with what you want.
and now it seems like since there's no two belts anymore, there's none for SmackDown or Raw. It's just one unified championship. It makes it seem like we
I
don't get
hated
those
that they
type of
did that.
matches. We don't get those number one contender matches where you get to see like the Street Profits take on the New Day, or Alpha Academy take on the New Day, or the Usos taking on the New Day, you know, for that number one contender spot or whatever it may be. It just seems like these tag team matches on SmackDown or Raw are almost meaningless now. And it just seems like they'll just make whoever a tag team, like, oh, these guys haven't been on TV in a while. Throw them together. They're a tag team for a few weeks.
Right.
It just makes no sense to me. The main event of last week's Raw, not Raw, but last week's SmackDown, seeing Io Sky defeat Charlotte Flair to retain the WWE Women's Championship. Wasn't a clean finish though, as Bayley helped save Io by putting her foot on the rope to break the pin count.
Well, duh, Bailey's always gonna jump in and do something.
Yep. And then EO used her championship as leverage, hitting Flair with it. Bianca Belair made her return to the squared circle by saving Charlotte Flair at the end. I honestly hope that...
Weren't they arch enemies at one point?
I think right now they're trying to make... They're trying to make Charlotte a babyface.
Why? Again?
Because if you look at it, Bianca Belair saved her this week. Who saved her last week? I can't remember off the top of my head, but some face saved her last week. And I think that they're just trying to make her a babyface. I mean, it makes sense, but I mean, I don't 100% agree with it, though.
I don't know.
I just hope that this doesn't set up a fatal three-way for the women's championship.
I won't watch it. I'm sorry. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, not just that, but it seems like every women's championship defense has to go through a fatal three-way now. And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's so stupid because you don't have to pin the champion to win it.
Yeah, for real, though. I didn't
you even can have that. You can have, like, the finger poke of doom shit going on where, you know, they poke and they take the dive and then you cover them for an easy three count, you know?
Right, yeah, for sure.
It makes no sense. I mean, I just, if they do have it at Crown Jewel, something with it, I would rather see Bianca versus EO at Crown Jewel. Maybe with Bayley and EO's corner and Charlotte and Bianca's corner, make things fair.
Right.
I think that would be pretty good than having a fatal three-way.
Yeah, I don't like the three ways. I don't like the three ways. The four. Yeah. I don't like none of that. I want it to be one on one.
Exactly, and then I mean, because it just gets too much at times. It's like you have to constantly not just watch all the action, but it's like, you know, who's gonna pin who, and who's gonna be mad that so and so pinned so and so because either the champion got pinned or the champion didn't get pinned.
Right.
They're gonna be mad regardless, you know. They're a champion, they got pinned. Oh, they got pinned because they had to face another woman. Oh, if it was not the champion that got pinned. Well, she never pinned me, so I'm still the champion.
Right. You know, something like CM that. Punk back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Something like CM Punk pulling out the real championship. Speaking of the real championship, short-lived, I guess you could say championship. We head to Saturday night with AEW Collision. This episode, I mean, it didn't really grab my attention. I don't think it was meant to really grab anybody's attention, given what happened on Wednesday. But there were some decent matches. And I think a reason why a lot of people didn't tune in is because there was nothing with the storyline progressing between Christian and Adam Copeland. So no one's going to tune into that because that was the big sell point of Collision the last couple weeks was Christian and Adam Copeland's little feud.
For real.
But some things of note that took place in Collision, Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson picked up a win against Andrade El Idolo, a.k.a. Mr. Charlotte Flair. After the match, Malakai Black appeared and gave Danielson a black mass. Honestly, I hope this sets up something between Blackpool Combat Club and House of Black.
That'd be pretty dope.
I mean, especially with, you know, House of Black, they had a little bit of a push going for them. And then, you know, you just kind of didn't see them for a while. But they're definitely two of my favorite factions, and I wouldn't be mad seeing either one. You mean either one of them holding the Trios Championship too? Also, we've seen Big Bill and Ricky Starks retain their AEW Tag Team Championships by beating the Blackpool Combat Club, which was Wheeler Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli. That match kind of pissed me off. No, not that match, but the match that was later on, I think, in the night pissed me off. It was mostly because I couldn't stand him. Slap Nuts Jeff Jarrett picked up the win against Eddie Kingston in a Memphis street fight.
I can't stand Jeff Jarrett. I've never been able to stand him. Like, he is so annoying as fuck. I just, no.
I'm not the biggest Eddie Kingston fan either. You know, I think Eddie does decent work. His best work's probably his promo and his talking skills. But I think that having a match, especially a no DQ street fight match, you have a double champion lose on a 5-on-1, pretty much, because Jeff Jarrett had all of his help from all of his lackeys and shit like that, and his wife. And it's just like,
if you can't do it on your own, don't be in the ring.
Exactly. And right? It's like, I understand it's a street fight, no DQ, anything can happen, anything goes. But it's like, I just don't like the result. You're giving someone who's been in the industry for well over 40 plus years a moment in which you could have gave to Eddie Kingston and had him win. Not make him look weak and have him be like that, be the reason why he has two championships, you know? Don't make him look weak and be like, okay, anybody can beat this guy now. I think, honestly, too, I think besides Chris Jericho, Jeff Jarrett needs to retire, too. I just don't like how he goes from like company to company now. Whoever's gonna get the biggest paycheck.
I mean, he's just out for the cash cow now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he is. He is. He's always been that way ever since TNA, when he owned a little bit of TNA.
Yeah, back in the day. I remember that.
I mean, I understand that he's part of that Memphis territory royalty, but it's time to retire already, man. That can only get you so far. Yeah, that was impressive in the 80s and the 90s, but it doesn't hold any value to it anymore, because this generation of wrestlers that are wrestling now could probably care less.
Right.
I think he, just follows things route and just bow out of the company, just be like, hey, you know what? I've had enough. I've had a hell of a career. I'm done,
He just needs to go out on top, and that I think that's what he's trying to do, but...
But it's not believable, though.
It's not even close to being believable.
Yeah, so it's like, I understand that a good portion of all this is meant to be unbelievable, but...
But you got to bring in the old heads like us, where this is all nostalgia, and...
Oh, yeah. Clearly, you remember these type of storylines. Right
through it.
Yeah, it is that, but we remember a lot of these. They're recycled storylines. Like I've always told everybody, I said, if you want to, look at some storylines that they're having on right now, a lot of it's recycled from back in the day. If you look at Judgment Day, they're a watered down version of the Ministry of Darkness.
Yes.
They're very watered down in that, but it's almost the same type of thing. In AEW, you have the Bullet Club. That was a straight-off rip-off of NWO. They do the Too Sweet also,
This is very true.
So, I mean, everywhere you go, you're going to have these recycled storylines, but it just seems like WWE just recycles theirs every so often and goes
ahead. It's like every couple of years, man.
Oh, yeah, every few years. Every few years. And then, God forbid, if they knew each other back in independent days, when they wrestled in the indie scene, they'll run with that for a freaking pay-per-view.
Yeah, for real.
So it's like, come on now. It's like they like to recycle all this stuff. I mean, it just gets old. But I mean, sometimes they put a new twist on it that draws us back in. But sometimes it takes a while.
It's hard to draw me back in. If it's something I don't like, I am not gonna sit and make myself watch it.
Exactly, and it felt like for the longest time. I think especially since. I mean, since Triple H has taken it back over in creative, I mean, it has gotten progressively better each week.
It is slowly getting better.
Slowly. But over the last few months before this merger and before the buyout, it seemed like a chore even trying to watch highlights or even watch matches from pay-per-views or even from regular weekday shows from them. It just felt like, man, all right, we got to watch this again, what are we going to see that's going to be, we expected it type shit. Now it's starting to be like, all right, we're starting to see a little bit of wrestlers we haven't seen in a while. Okay, so-and-so is getting a push. This person's getting a push. Okay, I don't mind that. And it's just like, it's slowly coming around. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight, but I definitely like the direction that Trips is taking this. And
Yeah, he is slowly going in the right directions.
Exactly.
I'm sending you something. I'm sorry. This is how my
Oh,
brain.
you're all right.
I'm sending you something right now. Either it's going to be red or blue eventually, but I would like to get one of each.
Alrighty, let's
I'm
see
sorry. This is
here.
my
Oh, you're
how
good.
my brain works. It's I've got like a million tabs open in my head.
Exactly. Oh, you mean the tag ones?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be pretty nice to get,
But
yeah.
I also like the old school ones like you were talking about. Sorry, that's just where my head
Oh
went.
yeah, they definitely have them all like that. It's I mean, I like the older ones better because that's what we grew up watching, but
Yeah, but I like the red and blue. I thought those
oh
were dope. The way they
those are good.
presented those were sick.
Exactly. Yeah, they were when they were first presented. It was definitely a more of an improvement than just having a unified one that was plain, more plain with no different colored straps,
Sorry, this is where my brain went.
Oh, you're
Tag
good,
teams
man. You're
brought
good.
up this we're the tag teams of the world, so
I mean, not just that, but we're also moving on to what happened in Monday Night Raw this past week. So it made for a good transition.
let's go.
All right, we seen Judgment Day open the show with a promo that was quickly interrupted by Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes ends up setting a match with Damian Priest at Crown Jewel. So going away from the Bloodline for a minute and gonna mess around with a Judgment Day. I mean, it's not the worst match that could possibly happen.
It's not.
I
I
mean,
mean, it could be Santino
oh man, could be Gold Dust or Stardust.
You know what? Oh, God. That, man. I was a
Cody
fan of
Rhodes
that. Is
comes up
that
at
weird?
Stardust.
I liked that shit because it was just out of nowhere. He's like, you know what? Let's see. Let's see how this works.
Yeah, but I think this has potential to probably one of the better matches of Crown Jewel, honestly. Because Damian Priest, he's the current Money in the Bank champion.
I need to know when he's going to turn that shit in. I need to know. Like, it's driving me bananas not
Find
knowing.
out next time on Monday Night Raw.
Right?
But no, the promo also seen the return of JD McDonagh as he also helped the Judgment Day take out Cody Rhodes. Do you think the Judgment Day will eventually add JD McDonagh to their faction?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're slowly getting bigger.
I mean, not just that, but especially now that he has really no place to go because in NXT he was part of a faction called Schism and they ended up breaking up, and that left him and The Rock's daughter without a faction to go with anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be looking like he could possibly be in the Judgment Day. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad member. I mean, he could learn from Finn Balor, who's, been in the business for a long time. He's wrestled in Japan. He's wrestled all over, so
I
he's
didn't
not
know him in
bad
Japan,
idea.
but when he came to NXT and then shot up to Raw, bro, oh my
Oh yeah.
God.
Yeah, dude.
I missed the demon.
His matches in Japan were even more better, I think, in my opinion. But he's
I don't know him from Japan, but I mean, I know there's differences, so I
Oh
think
yeah, there's definitely is. I mean,
WWE may be a little watered down,
well, not just
but
that,
it's
but
still a good show.
not just that, but the rules too of New Japan, I think, are a little bit different than what the rules are in WWE. So there's only
Yeah.
so much that you can do, and you gotta utilize, everything and all of your surroundings and things like that. Not just that, but he was the OG, I guess you could say, president of the Bullet Club. He was the
Yes,
OG head guy of the Bullet
I
Club.
vaguely remember that. Yes.
And then he passed it on to AJ Styles, and then AJ Styles passed it on to Adam Cole. Adam Cole passed it on to, I think, Switchblade. Yeah, I can't remember. He goes on and on and on and on. Oh, Cody was thrown in there somewhere too. I can't remember.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
But I like when I did like in that promo that Priest kind of took a jab at Cody Rhodes when he said, at this point, your story's got to be that you failed.
Ha
So, I think that's pretty, that was a
Damn,
pretty
yeah,
good jab right there.
I think he's gonna come out and do something.
I think I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he wins that crown jewel. I mean, they're set, like I said, they're slowly, I think, targeting him to take Seth's heavyweight championship from him. I think Seth's gonna have this match against Drew. That's gonna slowly deteriorate Drew's push a little, but I see him gunning for that championship. And
He needs to go after Roman. Fuck the other one. I'm sorry. I think if he's gonna finish the story, you gotta take out the biggest dog in the yard.
but it also goes, and it's like Damian Priest is like, yeah, he has that option to take out Roman, but we also seen it last year when Austin Theory was out there with his contract trying to cash in on the biggest prize and was unsuccessful many of times trying to do that, and he just said finally fuck it and went for the mid-card belt on the United States Championship. I mean, it's not that hard to believe that Damian Priest could go after that World Heavyweight Championship and cash in for that.
You know what? I didn't think it, I think about it that way, but this is very true.
Because I mean, everybody views those belts differently. You know, all the you know, especially this one, you know, just coming back up. You know, you want to try to win it and be one of the first ones to win it. You know, submit your legacy that way.
Yes. You know what? I could see both ways, actually.
Oh yeah, there's definitely
I mean,
you know, that
you could grab
aspect.
the US, say you grab the USA title or the Where the fuck's the Intercontinental Championship? Where's that
That
belt?
is Gunther.
Oh, that's right. Well, go after one of the lower belts and then like work your way up.
That could be something too. That'd definitely be something. First match of the night, we've seen Alpha Academy take on the New Day in tag action. This is probably the better tag team matches, I guess you could say, we've had in what seems like forever, because it actually felt like it meant kind of something. I don't know if it's just because it's the New Day doing tag action or what, but it just actually felt like it meant something. Xavier Woods did Otis's worm. His finisher, he did it actually in reverse. I thought that was pretty cool that he did that. As I'm glad that the New Day won. Alpha Academy and Chad Gable had their top runs as baby faces the past few
Yeah,
months.
they've been going on for a couple about a year or so, right? I mean,
Almost. I mean, well, not really a year. I mean, of being baby faces, I think they started early summer. So I mean, they had a decent run as baby faces, but I think with Triple H being head of creative, he's got to go with his
I
bread and
need
butter
Kofi
in
to
this
get the damn
situation.
belt back.
Ooh, you're
I
talking
need him.
about, oh, okay.
He
You're
had
talking
it
about
ripped away from him, and that
Kofi
bummed
Mania?
me. Yes, it bummed me out that they ripped it from him in 30
Exactly.
seconds. Dude, it crushed me. I've
Oh
been a
yeah.
fan of Kofi since I was a young kid. The Jamaican Kofi.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
Well, before he lost his accent in that promo in which
Yes.
Triple H
Oh.
said, "Hey, aren't you Jamaican?"
Bro, when I seen that, oh my God.
That was classic though. It was hilarious because no one was expecting it. You know, we're like, "Yeah, dude, he's from Jamaica." No, he's not. But anyways, going on to the second match of the night, we seen Becky Lynch defending her NXT championship against Indi Hartwell. We all knew Becky wasn't gonna lose this match, especially with NXT having Halloween Havoc on Tuesday and Monday Night Raw. I just, you know, there you already had the championship match booked and, you know, everything a week or so in advance, so you know
We
it
are
wasn't gonna
talking
happen.
about NXT next, correct? Sorry, this is just where my
I mean,
brain.
we right now we're talking about SmackDown. So I mean, NXT, we'll just glance over some NXT stuff. I mean, I don't really have too much of my notes for NXT, but yeah, we'll be talking about that
Okay,
next.
my bad, my bad. I'm
Oh,
just
you're good,
excited.
man. You're good. You're good. But I mean, you don't expect an NXT championship to be defended on Raw, so
But oh, this is true, this is true.
I
So
mean,
yeah.
You knew, like I said, you knew she wasn't going to lose this, especially when she had to face Lyla Valkyra at Halloween Havoc that next night. I felt like the match was decent. I felt like it actually showcased that Indy could actually hang with a main eventer, especially on the main roster. And I hope that, you know, she still gets that push. I know she had injury that made her lose the NXT championship at one point in time. So I hope that she gets her shot again.
Right.
Sometime soon, you know. But we also had something that you're going to be a real big fan of that happened on Monday night. A contract signing for a match at Crown Jewel. And that match will be a Fatal 5-Way match.
I literally just strolled down to start
reading that. I've seen your face change. I've seen your face change, too, for the Women's World Championship, or as I like to call it, Nia Jax wins because she injures the other four competitors.
Why is Nia Jax even in the fucking running for it?
Why'd you bring her back in the first place if you're not going to promise her at least something?
I don't like her. I don't agree with her. She sucks. She's just trash.
I don't think a lot of us really care for her, but you know,
I'm sorry, she's trash. Like,
I think we're all just tired of these fatal three ways, and now obviously a fatal five way.
But I still think Rhea's gonna come out. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a giant Rhea fan. Rhea's
terrible. I mean, It would be nice to see it switch hands, or at least one title over there in Saudi Arabia switch hands. I don't think it's going to be this one. I think Rhea retains.
It's not going to be this one. I'll tell you that
right now. I think that right now on that main Raw, I mean on that that Fatal 5-Way, I think the best person to even come close to defeating Rhea would be Raquel Rodriguez.
Yes, and I agree with you there because, dude, when did they battle last? I don't remember.
Oh.
When they battled last, well, bro, they fucking, it was like.
It was on that Monday Night Raw that Nia Jax returned. Remember, she injured both of them.
That's right.
In the return,
right.
So.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, but I would like, you know what? I know it's only supposed to be one time a year that you have this type of match. But why not have it in Saudi Arabia instead of a Fatal 5-Way? Have it a women's elimination chamber for the women's championship.
And then the winner will go off and get that. Whoever, whoever wins it,
yeah,
gets that match the next at Thanksgiving.
Or whoever wins it wins the belt. Whoever wins it wins the belt. Have it be like John Cena when he had to defend it, or AJ Styles when he had to defend it. You don't know when you're entering. You could be entering at a random time, or you could start off the match. Once you get pinned, you're eliminated and you leave.
You know what? That'd be pretty sick. That'd be like a 30-man woman royal rumble.
It'd be pretty badass to see how, you know, it'd be, you know, it's the elimination chamber, so you already have, well, you'll have six competitors, but you'd have to add somebody. It'd be way better than a Fatal 5-Way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you already have an entire pay-per-view dedicated to it, but it just makes more sense.
I don't get it. Four-way, five-way, whatever. Like a three-way. Okay, I understand that. That's cool as fuck. Two get fight each other, whatever, you know, but it's
exactly
too much. It's too much. I can't pay attention to over here and in the middle all at the same time. What the
see fuck? I think a fatal four-way would be like the perfect number, because it'd almost add as like a tornado tag almost in a way, where both competitors are out there legal men and they're just beating the shit out of the other people, you know. I think that would work in a situation, but I still don't like to see a championship match on a fatal three-way, or in this case, a fatal five-way.
Absolutely. No. No, that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Like I said, there's so many better different match types out there that they could have used for this, and I think that they definitely fumbled the ball on this one. But yeah, we've seen Piper Niven and Chelsea Green retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships with a win over Natalya and Nikki Cross. This just tells me that they really want Natalya to win these championship belts with somebody. Because they've been pushing her against Piper Niven and Chelsea Green for like the longest time. I think something's going to give eventually. I think she'll find the right tag team partner, and I think she'll end up winning championship gold, because I don't know why you would push Natalya so hard like this against a tag team of Piper Niven and Chelsea Green if you're not going to give her the straps sometime down the road.
Right.
I agree. It's also one of those things that it's like these belts needed attention to. Because I think under Vince's regime and his booking and his creative control, they didn't go on to be what they should have been.
Yeah.
No, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. They need more of a
Attention. They need more women's tag teams. Yes. They need their locker room is already deep enough as it is with women's competitors. It's one of the deepest, like we always talk about. It's the deepest. It's more, it's better than WWE, but AEW's women's locker room by miles. It's better than Impact's locker room by miles. They have enough women in there. They have enough experience. Why not push more tag teams, and why not make this belt worth something instead of just something that's going to collect dust and only see being defended only a few times per year?
Like years ago, the tag teams were always defended. I swear to God, it was like every Monday or every Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop.
If not, they had like a weekend off or two, and then they built it up for like a pay-per-view event, And it's just like it seemed like everybody put their belts on the line. Exactly. You have those title matches, even though 9 times out of 10 it won't switch hands. But that 10th time that it does switch hands, no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be surprised. Everybody's going to be like, what the hell? So, I mean, they definitely, like I said, that's one thing I'm willing to die on that hill. They need to break the belts up again. Raw needs to have one. SmackDown needs to have one. We need to make these tag team divisions actually worth something instead of just having it just be.
I agree.
You two get a shot because you're the two hottest superstars right now. You two get a shot because we want to push you guys as singles later on. It just doesn't make any sense.
This is absolutely true.
We also seen Drew McIntyre defeat Sami Zayn in singles action. No surprise, especially McIntyre taking on.
Drew McIntyre's a beast. Like,
well, not just that, but it's like,
why can't he take out Roman?
I don't know. That's honestly a good question. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why.
Give him the baby face again.
Ooh, that was a good baby face right there. I'm not going to lie. He was a good baby face.
Hey, man, I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it too. I mean, he was definitely when he was a baby face, he was definitely better. I mean, he's good as a heel too, but I think the baby face one, it got more fans around him.
Baby face, yeah. Like Daniel Bryan.
He was almost
a baby face, and oh my God, bro. I loved him.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely knew how to interact with the fans and get the fans up and going. But like I said, no big surprise that Sammy lost, because it's setting up McIntyre and Rollins, that crown jewel we got next Saturday. It's going to be one of those matches that's going to put Drew over instead of tear him down.
I don't know if I have to work next Saturday, but I will try to keep looking at the results.
Definitely. And it also was McIntyre seemed more dialed in too in this match and more physical.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best type of Drew McIntyre that we could see is the dialed in, more physical, whether he was a face or a heel. When he was dialed in, there's very few people that could beat him or, take him off his game. And I think that's going to set up great against Seth Rollins, especially if he's still dialed in like that.
Yes. I like the Scottish Warrior. I love that.
Exactly.
Digs from him, but also it's like, yo, you're not going to take me down. Like,
exactly.
You
but
can try as much as you want.
And then again, we still got to watch out at Crown Jewel too, because McIntyre could beat Seth Rollins. The Priest is always looking in the background.
fucking Priest.
He still has the Money in the Bank contract. I mean, he reminded Drew that this past week, and so he pretty much teased cashing in, you know. So do you think it will happen?
Not at Crown Jewel? Not at Crown Jewel. I think it'll
happen. You still think it's going to be happening at Mania like you said last time?
No.
No, oh, he's moving
I'm changing it up.
It up.
It's gonna be sometime soon, I think.
Are you willing to say the start of the new year?
I'm thinking that.
So probably at Rumble?
Rumble, yes. That's in what, January?
I do believe so. January or February, I can't remember.
Why does this keep freezing up on me?
I want to say it is February. But we also had a squash match between Bronson Reed and Tozawa, and a match that was built up. It was mostly to be built up for Bronson Reed's confidence. I believe with Triple H at booking and head of creative, I think that he's going to start pushing Bronson Reed a little bit more because he was one of Triple H's guys in NXT back in the day before he got released.
Right.
I think it's probably good for him because he's seeing more TV time. And who knows? He might just challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship coming up. You never know.
Yeah, Gunther's a beast. Nobody's taking that from him for a minute. Unless it's actually wrote in paper, take it away from him.
Well, I mean, not just that, but I mean, Gunther, I mean, you think that he could possibly, you know, I mean, not only dethrone Roman eventually, but could he possibly be the next one to take the Seth Rollins championship? I mean, especially if you want someone to change hands and have Bronson Reed with the Intercontinental, why not give Gunther either a shot at the world, I mean, the Undisputed or the World Heavyweight?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, he's definitely deserves it. I mean, the dude's definitely putting on, you know, main event style matches and only being a mid-carder.
This is very, very true.
Why not? You know, why not have him go after either Roman or go after Seth or whoever holds that at the end of the, you know, Crown Jewel?
Right.
Damian Priest also defeated Jey Uso in the main event of Monday Night Raw.
I like Jey Uso, though, man. Like, the thing is for me, I like them both, so they're both like, I don't know.
In the main event, Damian Priest got helped by Finn Balor. That's a few wins in a row, though, in the singles division for Priest. Could this be something big for him as he heads into Crown Jewel, you know, like a momentum boost? Could we see him?
I think it possibly? Is, but I think he's going to lose.
He might. You never know. I mean, it is creative. I mean, we would expect that underneath the vent, so.
But then again,
it's Triple
H
now.
No. He's got that money in the bank that he can wave around and do whatever he wants, so.
Could it almost be like WrestleMania 31, where you've seen Seth Rollins lose his match and then come out and then cash in the Money in the Bank?
Ooh.
Because he lost his match to Randy Orton that night.
Yes.
I think he came in for the heist of the century.
I think he'll come out and do some crazy shit like that. I think he'll lose the tag team champions, unfortunately. But then he's going to be like, all right, screw this. Screw you. I'm cashing in, and I'm going to take my belt and run.
Oh, that's definitely something I can see too happen. I can see that.
10-4, 10-4. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. And just a reminder that Crown Jewel is Saturday, November 4th at 1 p.m., 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Peacock. We will head to NXT for a quick minute. NXT had night one of Halloween Havoc, and something of note happened on night one, and that was Becky Lynch losing her NXT championship to Lyla Valkyrie.
But I'm okay with that. See,
I am too.
That happened.
Especially since it's a younger talent too.
Yes, yes.
It's good to see Bex, you know, lose it, and you know, it's to a fellow Irish woman too. So I mean, she has no issue with that.
I seen the result, or I seen like a clip of it, and I was like, you know what? I appreciate that. That's a good.
Yeah, exactly.
I like how they did this, so And at the end, she raised her hand as well. So I said, you know what, dude, that's awesome. That's the way to give that belt up.
Do you also see that this could possibly be probably Becky also taking some time off too in the near
Yes,
future,
yes. Or
especially
Cinderella,
with,
she's got her baby.
well, not just that, but I mean, it also puts her in an awkward situation where, Rhea is defending her championship already. Io's already defending her championship against other people that are waiting in line. Take some time off, enjoy your family. You
Yeah,
know, whether it be
absolutely.
a couple weeks or a couple months like Roman did, start off fresh maybe the new year and start your rivalry with Rhea or whoever, I think
Absolutely,
that's
dude.
probably the best
Absolutely.
thing.
Take the time off. Come back at the Royal Rumble. Demolish that. Come back at
Exactly.
through that number one, and then go to WrestleMania and channel it.
Hey, you're calling it. She's entering at one and she's gonna win it.
But you that's a long fucking road.
Just ask Rhea Ripley about it. She did it.
She, man, when I say she's, I
She
didn't know
did
who
it, dude.
Rhea Ripley was, and then I started picking up on who she was, and I'm like, holy shit,
Well, she
she's got
also,
gold.
well, not just that, but she also got her start on like the main roster for like during the performance
Yes,
center
yes, yes. Oh
era
my God, I hated that shit. I hated it.
where it
I
was
hated
all COVID
it.
with all the TVs and stuff. She got her real big push then. And then at WrestleMania, what was that? WrestleMania 36
Yeah.
that had all the monitors down at the performance center where no one was allowed. She really shined there too. And I think she almost came close to winning, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, she definitely had that. And then they start pushing her ever since. And she's pretty much been a fan favorite ever since.
I hated the Performance Center. It made me not watch Raw for a long time.
But the WrestleMania was even more worse because it was like you didn't have really anybody there to hype anybody up, and you seen Rob Gronkowski trying to hype people up, and it was just not working.
Was a wild one there.
Like, well, I think like that one is most memorable because it was Taker's last Mania, and he had the graveyard match with AJ Styles and the OC. So, that was a good match to end his career on, and the cinematography match worked wonders for
Yes, absolutely.
him. We are heading on over back to the P
What you
good
yawning
people, and
for, man?
I'm not just saying, oh man, we're going over back to the AEW, taking a look at what happened on Wednesday Night Dynamite. I'm just gonna say it now. I mean, I think all four shows, all five shows that we glossed over, I think they're all decent this week. But there's no show that really stood up above the
Yeah,
rest, I don't
I
think.
know it like so. Here's how I do it. I'll look. I'm on Facebook. Something will pop up. I read it. I watch it. Okay, interesting. This
Yeah.
week, I haven't had any of that except for Becky
Exactly.
Lynch losing that title, which was needed, which
Oh
I'm
yeah.
cool with. I'm not even mad about it.
Exactly. And it's like
But
that's the
that's
only
the
thing
only
that I
one.
yeah. Yeah, that's the only
And I
thing
just
that I
seen
was like,
that
yeah.
late last night
I think
at work.
maybe I think Dynamite had one match that was not too bad, and I think that was their main event. And other than that, it was just a average, Dynamite. But saying that, we had a match card that made it potentially be one of these good episodes, one of these probably, classic episodes of Dynamite. You had a match card that had MJF versus Juice Robinson for the AEW Dynamite ring. There was Hook with Rob Van Dam versus Alex Reynolds and John Silver. There was Bryan Danielson with Claudio Castagnoli versus Orange Cassidy and Okada from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Then we had Ruby Soho and Shida for the AEW Women's Championship. And not to mention the Young Bucks and Hangman Adam Page put their Ring of Honor six-man tag team straps on the line against the Hardy Boys, the Hardys, and Brother Zay. It had a potential to be one of these shows. It just fell apart, I guess. I mean, fans weren't into some of the matches, and it hurts when, you can't get your fans going like that. But the first match didn't have any issue doing that, as we've seen MJF defend his Dynamite Diamond Ring against Juice Robinson. Juice got busted open with the ring, and I just gotta say, the blood covering his face made him look more crazy than he already looks half the time, just staring into the camera. But yeah, it's kind of funny because Juice had his own version of the ring, but it wasn't the real ring, and MJF had the real ring. MJF used the real ring, and that's how he ended up winning. So he's the what, 4-time champion of the Dynamite Diamond ring. So I think if WWE does grab up MJF in 2024, I could see them possibly just retiring that event, because I mean, MJF pretty much owns that ring, and it's just been on his finger ever since like 2019 when they first started it.
Right.
But where do you think that this leaves MJF versus Juice Robinson? Do you think we'll probably see a rematch down the road, and maybe see even a match for the AEW World Championship?
I think we'll get one or two more, maybe. I think one, and then it'll be over.
It seems like, because it seems to me like they've been pushing Juice Robinson more than they've been pushing Switchblade Jay White, because, you know, Jay White was one of the same, signed around the same time that Robinson did with AEW, being that they're both, you know, Bullet Club Gold members. But I see Robinson getting a little bit more of a push. He was a former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion and a IWGP United States Champion over in Japan. So, I mean, the guy's got credentials. He's got the belts to back him up. So it would be nice to see him or Jay White win that AEW World Heavyweight, not Heavyweight, but World Championship.
You know what? I want to see Jeff Hardy win it, goddammit.
Hey, I mean,
I need him to, I need to see him with my belt. Never know. And I'll be my fan favorite. I'll be happy.
I mean, would you settle for a tag team strap with his brother?
I can't do that. They've had too many of those. They come back to WWE, won that for a while.
What about a mid-card? What about the TNT? Would you be happy with that?
He's got to be champ one more time. After that, I'll be okay. He's Dang. Been around for many, many years.
All right. International champ?
Possibly.
Or if we can partner with, no. I'm gonna say Billy Corgan's already done enough crazy shit by putting that strap on Tyrus. Never mind. With the NWA championship.
I need to see another Swanton bomb from like six stories high.
I mean, it would be nice, but he ain't no spring chicken anymore, my man. That Swanton bomb's gonna do a mid one last time. Oh man, the second match of the night, we seen Hook and Rob Van Dam team up to beat the Dark Order's Alex Reynolds and John Silver in tag team action. I think I've said it once, I don't know if it was in group chats or chats with you in general. I don't know what the hell AEW is doing with Dark Order. Especially, you release Stu Grayson, you bring him back, but you only bring him and focus him on, not focus him on, but showcase him on Ring of Honor. You hardly ever have him on AEW television time. You have Evil Uno almost being a manager now to Silver and Reynolds. I just don't understand where they're trying to take the Dark Order. I know they're trying to make them heels and all this, but you made them baby faces for so long with the passing of Brody Lee. It doesn't make any sense to make them heal. It'd just be better if they just broke the group up, honestly. Especially since you had five leave AEW and go to Impact Wrestling, and now 10, he left Dark Order, and now is having a singles run underneath his real name of Preston Vance. So it just makes me feel like they should either, you know, repackage them, or just say screw it and just focus them on tag teams and just break them up. And I think just
break them up, truthfully.
Exactly. Honestly, I think that'd be
it'll
best. Be better, I know.
Be better for them.
I know that Evil Uno and Stu Grayson were tag team partners back in the indie scene. And I know that
eventually, Reynolds, eventually, maybe they could come back, but
Oh,
dude,
yeah, that'd be like a reunion type thing. Yeah, I
yes,
mean,
like the Hardy Brothers always
yeah,
did.
like just have like that one, just that one time thing, I'd be fine with that. My biggest complaint too is that Hook seems to be getting more tag team matches in his AEW career than he's had singles matches. Not that I'm complaining about that, but I think I'd like to see Hook be showcased more as a singles competitor. Maybe have him win that TNT championship instead of carrying around the FTW championship, which is not even recognized by any
What
wrestling
happened to the
promotion.
24 hour?
The 24/7,
Yeah.
they
I was
no
wondering
longer,
about
no
that. I
longer. Yeah,
was
they
looking.
silently, I think they silently did away with it. R-Truth, I think, has it somewhere still. But yeah, so where do you see Hook going from here? Do you see Hook possibly getting that push? I mean, he is Taz's son. He is, I think, only like 19 or 20. It would be nice to see him with something with a strap that actually means something rather than have the FTW championship.
I think they're gonna make. I want to see him go after a different title. Like, who's
Yeah,
the.
I just I because that FTW championship, it was a championship that his dad won back in the day, and it doesn't mean anything. WWE doesn't recognize it as any championships, as a championship. The AEW doesn't recognize it. Ring of Honor doesn't recognize it. New Japan doesn't recognize it. So it just seems like it's like a like
Just a
a
fill-in belt.
well, not just that, but it almost just seems like it's just so it can get recognized on TV because it
Yeah.
hasn't
Oh,
been on
yes.
TV in
I
such a long
agree.
time. I don't think it's been on actual television besides AEW. I think the last time it was probably on television was probably ECW, probably. That's the only
Yeah.
promotion I could probably
Oh
think
my
of
God. No,
because
you are right.
Taz
Shit.
wrestled for ECW, and I think he had the FTW championship with him then.
Yes.
But it wasn't even recognized by ECW either. So, I mean, and I think it's just a championship that Taz honestly made up just to make himself feel better because he wasn't going to win an actual championship anytime soon. Tony Khan had a big surprise for the future retiree Sting. That surprise was the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And
He needs to
Rick
retire,
was,
dude.
but Rick was, hey, you spoke this into existence last week's episode. This is your fault. It's not my fault. My fault. My shit was already done. That was
Is
two
true.
weeks in a row. It's your fault now. Nature Boy was quoted saying, quote, "When I got invited from Tony, Mr. Khan, to be a part of this, man, I wanted to be a part of this all the way until March, I guess. Damn it, time flies, brother. If you'll have me, I love to ride the wagon with you, man." Woo! Do we see Ric Flair possibly getting in a match
Oh my
with
God.
not just with Sting, maybe as a tag team with Sting? Do we see this happening sometime before March, or do you just think that Rick's just at his old age and just talking?
Well, he's been talking about it for quite some time. I've kind of watched it
Well,
a little bit.
not just that, but he's also had his final match, and like shortly after his final match that he had, he was like, "Yeah, I think I want one more match." And
Yeah.
that final match had him, I think, lose him and his son-in-law, I think, lost to Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, if I remember right. Because Ric Flair almost died in the ring that
This is very true. Wow, it's been a long time since that's happened,
Yeah.
huh?
Yeah, it's almost, I think, almost a year ago since
Jesus
it's
Christ, I
happened.
didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so I mean, or do you just, you know what? I mean, if, because I don't know what AEW's plans for the actual Sting are after he retires, if they're going to offer him a producer role or what.
Nah, I think he's just gonna go off into the sunset.
Exactly.
He'll
I don't
come back every now and again for
like an appearance, like an
what? Yeah,
anniversary show or
yeah.
something, but he won't wrestle, of course. But do you see Nate maybe signing some type of managerial deal? I mean,
Yes,
not
I can see
saying,
that.
but who better to have Sting's last match with than a heel turned Darby Allin
Yes.
with Nature Boy managing him?
I like Darby Allin. I hate the weirdness
Exactly.
of it.
Yeah. I
I
like it.
like
I
him.
like
I've
him.
always liked him.
Well, you know why? Because it reminds us, all of us older guys, you know, all of us older Attitude Era kids. It
Jeff
reminds
Hardy.
us of the Hardys, yeah.
Jeff
Because he
Hardy,
does
all day.
like the coffin drop off of unreal heights. He does it off of ladders. He does it onto the apron. He does it anywhere, you know. He does it onto a coffin. So I
Yes.
mean, the dude's not scared of anything. I mean, and that's what I think we liked about it, because he reminded us so much of Jeff and Matt.
This is very true.
Oh, we also had Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championship match. Championships up for grabs, where the Young Bucks and Hangman Page defeated the Hardys and Brother Zay. Brother Zay is an alter ego that Isaiah Cassidy uses for Private Party, as we've seen in a few matches already. It's him pretty much channeling his inner Hardy brother, you know. Especially Private Party, when they debuted in AEW, they said that the Hardys were pretty much their inspiration growing up.
Well, yeah, they were mine too.
Exactly. Well, they also have the high flying talents too, and they're also high flyers, which is the reason why Mark Quinn is out at the moment, is because he's injured. And that's why you have the trio tags between Jeff and Matt and Brother Zay. So honestly, it's probably the best I've seen the Hardys actually wrestle together and individually in a very long time. I'm just glad that, you know, they're starting to look better now. You know, they're starting to, you know, have that little bit of a, you know, feel good, you know, mentality to them.
Right.
And I love how they're taking a Private Party underneath their wing. And since they both looked up to the Hardy Boys, like I said, it's kind of getting excited.
Who
But
didn't look up to the Hardy Boys? That's what I need to know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
I mean,
I
I
think we all
love,
did.
oh my God, the I met Jeff, and he's about 3 or 4 inches taller than me. But he's fucking awesome, so.
I think a lot of us probably had a lot of, you know, injuries off of trampolines and, you know,
Oh my God.
other objects, you know,
Oh
as
my
kids
God.
trying to recreate some of
My
that
leg,
stuff.
both of my legs should have been broken.
Oh yeah, there's a few times, and then next thing you know, WWE sends out the little message before, you know, Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. Please do not try this at home or anywhere. Did we listen? No.
Frosty.
But yeah, we really haven't seen the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championships up for grabs or even talked about, not only in AEW but in Ring of Honor television. We haven't seen it a
Seriously.
lot either. We know that AEW has the AEW Trios championships along with their AEW tag team championships. Do you think that the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team championships are something that they could possibly cut out, given the fact that AEW already has the Trios championship, the tag team championship? Not just that, but Ring of Honor also has the tag team championships too. I mean, Tony Khan owns both companies, and I guess you could say that Ring of Honor is almost like, you know, the SmackDown for AEW in a way. You know, it's that second brand. Would you like to see them get rid of that? Because I mean, honestly, that's just too much right now.
Yes, they can get rid of that. It's too mo Oh my God, sorry, I just found something dope as fuck. But yes, they can get rid of that absolutely right now. Peace out. Get it out of
Oh
here.
yeah. I think that would probably be the best decision. I mean, because it's just, I mean, I know AEW's, you know, their men's roster is, you know, right up there with WWE. They have a lot of talent in the men's roster. But I think if you have so many options, you're going to have people that are mad, because if you're going to put them with tag teams and stick them with Gold, they should be able to defend them. And to have a belt like the six-man tag teams not be defended very often kind of just loses the any type of prestige that it even had, if it did have anything. You know, it loses that, in my opinion. That's
true.
And I think that it's just a way to keep people happy in a way. Like, hey, I got a belt now. You know, I'm content for the moment.
Right.
Speaking of championships, Shida also retained her AEW Women's Championship by defeating Ruby Soho.
Yeah.
This match had the makings on paper to be a decent match, but it's harder to be a decent match when the crowd really wasn't into it. The crowd,
if the crowd is not into it, I've noticed it so much. If the crowd's not into it, you're not.
The match is not. Yeah. Because the superstars are relying on that. They're relying on to hear those pops, to hear those ooh, to hear the ahs, you know. They need that. And that's how they work.
And it's hard to watch it on TV anymore, honestly, because of the fill-in noise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot, everybody's using the fill-in noise nowadays. And it's,
that shit, the only it drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think the only time that that match actually came to life from the audience was when Toni Storm came out. Other than that, I'm going to be honest. I don't like how AEW has done with the booking of Ruby Soho as of late. It's feeling like she's being booked how she was when she was Ruby Riott of the Riott Squad towards the end of her WWE career. That's what
you
it feels
know,
like to
I
me.
I agree with you there. No, I agree with you. It is.
Because if you look at it, when she first came in, they're like, all right, cool. You know, we're glad you're here. We're going to give you this push. You're going to go to the top. You're going to challenge Britt Baker. We're even going to have Rancid come in and play your entry music for you live at one of our biggest pay-per-view events of the year, but you're going to come up just a little short, but we're going to still push you. And then
doesn't
that
make
push,
any sense.
But then the push goes downhill, and then she ends up having to team up with Saraya and Toni Storm, and then it's like, then she's in that faction again like she was with the Riott Squad, you know, and it's like, I'm just not liking how she's being booked.
Yeah, she's moving too much. She needs to move up, stop swerving.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that that has a lot to do also with, like we said, a depleted women's locker room. I mean, how can we have her move up when you don't have anybody to put her up against that's not a champion? You know, we don't have those matches where she can go out, have a couple squash matches every so often, get her confidence boosted up, and then have her go up against like a mid card, beat them, and then make her confidence even more, and then be like, all right, you're ready for the main event now. We're probably gonna put the strap on you now. She needs something like that. And
she
it's
needs
just
another build up, basically. Start from scratch, figure out
repackaged,
what she wants.
Repackaged,
yes,
just
yes,
repackaged. Yes. I mean, I know she's always been like the heel type, you know, going back to her days in WWE, but that babyface run that she had with the start of AEW, that's what we need again. And I think that's where she actually did her best work, was as a babyface in AEW. And it would be nice to see if they actually go back to that.
Yes, yes, I agree with you.
In the main event, we saw Claudio Castagnoli, Bryan Danielson, take on Orange Cassidy and Okada. And this was probably the best match of the night. And I would probably put it up to second best to Becky Lynch losing her NXT championship. You've seen four men in that ring with all four different styles of wrestling and performing. And the pop that Okada got when he got that tag in was amazing, and you would have thought that that crowd was there all night pretty much, and even though the match before it they were like crickets.
Yeah, dude, I that shit drives me nuts, because one night it's really really good, the next is just like nothing,
or even that same night it's like, yes, no company nowadays can keep fans longer entertained. And that's why I think honestly move Raw to 2 hours, Keep SmackDown at 2 hours. Keep NXT at 2 hours. You don't need that third hour on Monday Night Raw.
That's where I kind of disagree.
I
always like the three. No. I always like the 3 hours because when I was younger, it would end at what?
11.
It ended at 11. It was 9 to 11 every Monday night.
8 to 11.
No.
Oh, what?
Before that hour got added, it was 9
to 11. Oh, yeah, it's 9 to 11.
Every week.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they moved it up to 8. You know what? I'm going to agree with you. 8 o'clock is way too early, but 9 o'clock is too late, if that makes sense.
Then, yeah. Then 11 o'clock is, you know, too late for it to finish, you know?
It's too late because you got people going to work.
Perfect. Exactly. So,
a 7:45, 7:50 start and go to like 9:30. Like just to give it like a, just to like give a recap of last week. You know, just
okay, like the little old, bit. I like the old recap shows like they used to do on like Saturdays.
Yeah.
Like the USA Network. Like where it's like 2 hours long and there's just recaps.
Basically, that was always Saturday morning because I
yeah, it was
on Friday night and I'd catch
yep,
it Saturday.
Catch
morning.
It on Saturday, yep. but yeah, the match was real awesome. The crowd seemed to love it, especially with Okada coming in from New Japan. Orange Cassidy had some crazy reversals. The man looked like a human Uno reverse card out there last night. Especially when Claudio was going to hit him with a suplex and Orange Cassidy was able to reverse it and give Claudio a stunner. And it was something crazy to watch. I mean, I actually rewatched it a couple times just to make sure that I was actually seeing it correctly.
It's hard for me, but I am definitely keeping up on a lot of shit lately.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where, you know, it's that, you know, you gotta, anything that I hear regarding it, you know, I usually try to take notes of right away. But yeah, I hope AEW uses Okada a little bit more. I'm not sure what his New Japan contract is looking like or how many AEW dates he has booked. But I can guarantee you one thing, and I'm willing to take this. This could be one of my hot takes. I don't even care.
You know what? This is you.
This is my hot take. Fight me about this too. CM Punk gets a pop anywhere he goes in the United States. Okada gets a pop everywhere he goes in general. That's how good Okada's been in the last 10, 15 years. He gets a pop in New Japan. He gets a pop in AEW. Hell, I bet you if he even debuted on WWE tonight, he would get a huge ass pop. Because everybody... A lot of people in the wrestling industry know Okada and know him and his work in New Japan.
This is true.
I mean, he's not called the Rainmaker for nothing. There's a reason why his Titantron in the back has money coming down. Because the dude...
Man, you're killing me, boss. You're killing me.
All right. If Okada and CM Punk... both made a debut at an event in Chicago, I bet you Okada's pop would be louder.
I'm going against you. I'm a CM Punk fan.
And Pepsi Phil's own backyard, Okada will get a bigger pop.
Nope. I'm not agreeing with you there. That's a no.
But you know what didn't hear a pop? Was this last week in Chicago when CM Punk did not debut at Impact's Bound for Glory.
This is true.
Instead, the company announced that starting in January 2024, Impact will be switching back.
Yes! Oh my god!
Non-stop action.
Oh my god, that made me so happy. It really did make me happy to see that.
With the name change, are they going to bring back the six-sided ring?
I hope not. I hated the six-sided ring.
I was about to ask, did you hate that?
Oh my god. Dude. It made me so mad.
Oh yeah.
I didn't understand why they needed a six-sided ring.
Well, I think it's because they want it to be total nonstop protection. I mean, you have a four side ring. You could get, you know, anybody can come to the left or to the right of you. You can't see, you know, an impact. You have them coming off from all different angles. So that's why it was nonstop.
You know what? I understand that, but it is.
It's stupid, though.
It's too much. It's too.
Oh yeah, it was. It was, and it. It was too much, and then I think also just, you know, seeing what it did to a lot of the wrestlers long term too. I mean, AJ Styles said that he said that he really didn't care for it. Then you had like Samoa Joe that would wrestle there too, and it's like, you know, I'm glad that they went to the four-sided ring shortly, you know, not shortly after, but by the time they became Impact. I mean, it would be cool to have a six-sided ring match on like an anniversary show.
Not for me. I hated it. I hated it so much. Like, that was
exactly
that was really bad for me.
Even going back, even if I don't know if you've ever watched old school Impact on like Pluto TV, they have an entire Impact channel, and they have the six-sided ring ones. That like
wow.
The matches.
Okay, you then. Said it's on Pluto TV then, yeah?
Yes, there is a Impact channel. Yeah, they sometimes show some of the new stuff, but a lot of them is like the old school, like Bound for Glory, like the original ones. They'll have like the Joker Sting episodes every now and then. Yeah, dude, they got a lot of the old school classic shit there. They got a lot of the Beer Money Inc. stuff from back in the day too. So
Beer Money Inc. God, I haven't
yes,
heard
sir.
Of years.
But yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes since it's going to be rebranded back to TNA. Hopefully, they won't be bringing back the six-sided ring, but hopefully they'll be bringing back some of the, you know,
don't bring back
things.
Any of the stupid shit.
Well, yeah, don't bring back Jeff Jarrett. Just let's put it that way.
No shit.
New Japan Pro Wrestling's Will Ospreay's contract will be coming up at the first of the year. Has been reported that he has signed with agent Barry Bloom. Barry Bloom has represented former stars such as Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and some current stars such as Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page, and the Young Bucks, to name a few. So, I guess without saying, oh, well, I guess since he's hired this agent that has represented so many of these big elite names, pun intended. Do you think that in 2024, do you think that either AEW or WWE could afford both Will Ospreay and MJF? Because Ospreay is going to want a lot of money. This agent that he signed with, he gets the most money for his clients.
You realize who bought WWE, right?
But then you also realize how many more budget cuts are they going to make room for Will Ospreay or MJF or both of them. I think if you sign them, I think you're definitely making some type of budget cuts.
Yeah.
If you're WWE. See, TKO Sports Bottom, they're a sports agency, they're a sports group, you know. They deal with sports. They deal with anything like that. They deal with combat sports. Let's just put it that way, with UFC and WWE. But if you look at the cons have money from all over. They bought a soccer team over in England, Fulham FC. They owned them. They got revenue coming in for them. They owned the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got revenue coming in from them. They got AEW. They got revenue coming in from them. Ring of Honor revenue coming in from that. I mean, at the end of the day, I think if Ospreay has the better chance to land anywhere, I would say probably 75-25 if he goes to AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just because his agent already has so many AEW talent as clients, but I think that WWE is not going to be willing to pay that much. And possibly risk having to do budget cuts again. I think that their main focus is on trying to get MJF, and I think that's what they're going to focus on is getting MJF.
Yeah.
AEW announced that All In will be back in London in 2024. With that, the WWE decided to jump on board with a premium live event in Germany next year.
Wait, what?
As WWE announced that Bash in Berlin, as it will be called, will be hosted in Berlin, Germany on August 31st, 2024.
I am going to have to watch it.
Do you like the idea of the of more European pay-per-view events? We had Clash at the Castle. That wasn't too bad. Then we also were having Bash in Berlin. I mean, we've had a pay-per-view event in London already, but that was almost the end of Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice to see more pay-per-view events. I mean, I know they do their little European tours every year, but it would be nice to see an actual pay-per-view event over there more often. And I think it's starting to set the grounds for maybe, just maybe, a Mania over there. You never know. Possibly. And we got some news too on this last week's Dynamite, that MJF got challenged by Kenny Omega for the AEW championship at Collision this Saturday. Do you see MJF retaining?
Unfortunately, I
don't know how much longer this reign's gonna last. I mean, I know his contract's expired, I think January 1st. So we're approaching November, and he still has, you know, the championship. So, I mean, I think if anything, it's going to happen pretty soon, especially if there's negotiations going on behind the scenes, which, you know, there are. I think that could even turn into a Bret Hart type situation where he wants to take the belt and keep the belt until he leaves the company. And I think that Tony Khan's not going to be cool with that. I think, you know, at the end of the day, if he does decide to go to WWE, I think there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a sloppy exit, I think. I think it's going to be, you know, one of those exits where if MJF does leave, I don't see him coming back type thing, even if it is in the long run.
This is
very since it is Friday and our little special Halloween little episode, we wanted to end the show off a little different and just see how crazy or sane we really are. We're going to give some of these hot takes a little bit of hot takes that, you know, I've written down.
You throw some at me. This is all yours. This is something. Yeah, this is all mine. This is all.
Owen Hart was better than Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Honestly, I liked his in work.
I didn't like either one, but I'm gonna go with Bret Hart, or not Bret exactly. Hart, Owen Hart.
Oh yeah, Owen Hart, and plus it was like, you know, Owen Hart for me was like my first favorite wrestler growing up.
My first favorite was the Boogeyman. Okay, and after that, I was sold. he kept eating the worms, bro. The worms,
exactly, exactly.
It was so weird, but I loved it.
But yeah, I just think that, you know, Owen was a lot better. His in-ring work was a little bit more technical and a little bit more polished, I think, in my opinion. So, my second hot take, Bret Hart was in on the Montreal Screwjob.
Man, you had to bring up something I haven't seen in years.
97.
Yeah, I was six. Okay, I was six.
I was five.
God, you know what? I could see him saying, fuck it, let's do it. Let's mess because, with the audience.
Because if you realize that this match, that screw job, gave us what we knew as Attitude Era Vince McMahon. The no chance in hell, you know? That's when he lived up to the theme song that he had. No chance in hell because, you know, we got heel Vince for the first time because it was revealed that Vince owned the company at that time. And it's like, oh, yeah, I do own the company. So, yeah, someone's going to be this heel guy because he was an announcer before that. He was just doing announcing. And people just took him as an announcer. So to see that he was part of everything and how everything operated. Oh yeah, we wouldn't have gotten heel Vince without it. And I think, you know, that goes with some collaboration behind the doors more than just HBK.
This is very true, and I agree with you.
My other hot take is MJF is the number one heel, not just in AEW, but in every promotion, and second best is Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom's got a lot of growing to do, but he's really good.
Dude, have you heard that the on the Monday Night Raw? Well, no, not the Monday Night Raw, but the SmackDown, where they introduced Aldis, Nick Aldis, and they were booing Dominic, and that was no filter in that booze whatsoever. Because even Triple H said, "Man, it's loud out here." He said, "I thought all that was filtered in."
Damn, that's
That was
cold.
all him getting all that heel heat. So I would say that, yeah, I'm comfortable with that ranking right now.
He need eventually he'll you know it he'll build up, but
Oh yeah, but I'm
I
putting
like
number
what he is doing right now.
and notice I didn't say Roman Reigns was even number two. I'm putting him at number three.
Roman Reigns sucks, okay? There
So that's that, yeah. Um,
it
and
is.
I think, all right, we got another hot take. I believe that with two GMs again, we should separate the straps, put them back on the respected brands. And I also believe
And
to
do
going
Monday night
back,
versus Friday night, SmackDown versus Raw.
but not just
Every.
that, but go back to each brand having their own pay-per-view.
Fucking yes. Oh my God, I like
And the
that.
only
Okay,
time
I agree.
they meet together like that and face one another, like Raw and SmackDown, would be at Survivor Series. That's the only co-pay-per-view event. Well, besides WrestleMania, that'd be the
Yeah.
only
Ooh.
co-pay-per-view event. And then bring back, remember when they used to have Money in the Bank for Raw and they used to have Money in the Bank for SmackDown?
Oh my God. No, I
Bring that
don't.
back too.
Oh my God. God, I'm old. Thanks, Dick.
It's pronounced Nick. The D is silent. All right. And my last hot take of the night is that you can go to w.gg and use Nation 2023 and get 10% off your entire order. I'm just going to say it. We have the best fans that we could ask for. Thank you all for your love and support. Don't forget to follow us on our socials that are linked in the description. And on top of that, don't forget to check us out on Spotify, where we'll usually put a poll out with our episode. It's only a Spotify exclusive, so if you're listening on another service, fortunately, you won't see that. So that's another reason to listen to us on Spotify. Think that's all for my hot takes, and I think that's just about all for this week's episode. Got anything else to add, Face?
I do not.
All righty, like always, I'm Vogel, and that is the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. We hope you enjoy your weekend. And until next time, Jobber Nation, peace.
Deuces.